So we will call the public hearing to order at 6 p.m. on Tuesday, December 21st. First, the purpose of today's public hearing session is for council to hear those who came to wish to state their opinions in favor or opposed of Bylaw 827, the borrowing bylaw, and Bylaw 830, the public notification bylaw. So we'll do Bylaw 827 first. Bylaw number 827 passed first reading on October 18th, 2022. Bylaw 827 will authorize council to issue a debenture in the amount of $395,000 to cover the village's portion of the upgrades to the water infrastructure. The village has received a grant from Alberta Municipal Water and Wastewater Program in the amount of $1.185 million. This is 75% of the anticipated cost of the project. As part of the grant agreement, the village is responsible for providing the remaining 25% of the funds for the project. The village has hired MP Engineering to complete the project, and work has already been started on this project and is anticipated that the construction portion will begin in the spring of 2023. The project will install a new high-capacity pump in the existing pump house, as well as run a new 12-inch line south of the pump house under the CP tracks to join into the existing village infrastructure at the intersection of Grand Avenue and Whitney Street. This project will increase the water flow for the village, decrease the drop in pressure if a fire hydrant is open, and will allow for future expansion as population increases. Okay, so to date we haven't received any letters, so we're going to open the floor for those who want to speak, and each person may speak once either in favor or against the proposed bylaw for a period of up to 5 minutes, or longer if council agrees to the extension. When you do speak, please state your name and your address clearly before you begin. Okay? So is there anyone who wishes to speak in favor of bylaw number 827?
I will.
Carol?
Carol Cheswick, 337 Alta Vista Boulevard.
Okay.
And I'm in favor of the project because I like water.
Short and sweet. Perfect. Okay. Is there anyone else who wishes to speak in favor of bylaw?
Okay. Don Atkinson, 315 Whitney Street, and I'm definitely in favor of this bylaw. And the only question I have to ask, if I can ask it, is the village monies prior to this council, there was some designated at one time, wasn't it, for this? There never was, hey?
So not for this project.
Not for this part of the project.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all I needed to have clarified. But yeah, I'm in favor.
Okay.
Well, Paul, 328 Camburn, in favor.
In favor. Okay. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in favor of bylaw number 827?
I'm in favor.
Okay. So is there anyone who wishes to speak against bylaw number 827? I'll ask a second time. Is there anyone who wishes to speak against bylaw 827? Okay. And a third time. Is there anyone who wishes to speak against bylaw 827? No? So then I call that portion done. Thank you for your input and your speaking. Now, bylaw number 830 is public notification bylaw. It passed first reading on November 15th, 2022, and under 606 of the Municipal Government Act, municipalities are required to give notice of certain activities, such as public hearings, the passing of certain bylaws, resolutions, and meetings by advertising in the local newspaper for 2 consecutive weeks, or by mailing a notice to every affected resident. The passing of this bylaw will enable the village to advertise these activities in a more efficient manner, as most residents do not receive the local newspaper. Bylaw number 830 will allow administration to electronically post a notice on the village website and or social media pages, and or post the notice prominently in the post office and village office and or mail the utility bills and or send the notice by email for any residents who have signed up for email communications and or by mailing the notice to all residents who are affected by the activity. The village can choose which one of these options will best reach the affected residents and may choose to use any or all of the options listed in the bylaw. To date, we have received no letters. And so again, everybody's allowed to speak in favor or against the proposed bylaw. And basically what this does, it's kind of like a housekeeping, because we've been posting things on Facebook or on the village, but under the MGA we have to actually have a bylaw that says we can. So that's what the rationale for this was. So is there anyone who wishes to speak in favor of bylaw 830? Val? Okay. Is there anyone... Second time, is there anyone who wishes to speak in favor of bylaw number 830?
I will.
Carol? And a third time, is there anyone who wishes to speak in favor of bylaw number 830?
I will. Tanya Atkinson.
Okay, and your address, Tanya?
You want that? 315 Whitney.
Okay. Okay, is anyone else? Not? Okay, is there anyone who wishes to speak against bylaw number 830? Second time, is there anyone who wishes to speak against bylaw number 830? And a third time, is there anyone who wishes to speak against bylaw 830? No, seeing none. So then we will close the discussion for that. And that concludes our portion of the public hearing. So thank you, everybody, for who's recorded your name or made comments. Thank you.
Redundant, but MGA
yeah.
Control on these, it keeps every village in line, which is good.
Yep, for sure. So now we'll move on to our regular council meeting. Do we need to adjourn the public hearing?
I think we need to adjourn it.
Okay, so can I have...
I adjourn the
public hearing
at whatever.
6:08.
Okay, all those in favor? And it is carried. All right, so we'll call our regular council meeting to order at 6:08. I see we have several guests. Thank you all for coming. It's so cold outside. We will open the floor for a question period. Is there anybody that would like to say anything or ask a question or...
About anything.
Sheila?
No, I take that back.
Okay.
When I was listening to the audio, you mentioned that there was a discrepancy in the tax bylaw.
Yes.
Does that affect our numbers?
No. It was a clerical error where something was copy and pasted incorrectly into the new bylaw. So we fixed it at the last meeting and passed the amended bylaw, so everything is fine. Yeah, it doesn't affect anyone's taxes or anything.
And then the second thing is, when you get to this last page, would you kind of break it down?
Yes.
I'm totally confused about that.
Yeah, for sure. We're going to go over all of that.
Okay. So,
definitely.
Okay. I have a question.
Yes, Carol.
I read online, and I think it was in the last minutes. Oh, it was what our town man did. He returned the electric, what do you call that? Charging station?
Yes.
Are we not putting it up anymore?
No.
We are not.
Good.
Vulcan actually has two of them.
Yes.
And they are, every month, they are in a deficit with it.
Yeah.
There's not enough people and to pay for it to make it. So for us to actually did, just didn't make sense.
Yeah.
You know, and there isn't a whole bunch of electric cars out there yet.
Yeah.
So
it was going to cost over $2,000 to put it in.
Oh.
For the
installation.
Electrician to install it. It was going to cost over $2,000 to install it. And I mean, how many electric chargers does it take to get $2,000 back?
I don't know.
A lot.
a lot, yeah.
And just, if I can tell you, just on the news tonight, by 2035,
yeah,
the federal government has passed a law by 2035, every passenger vehicle has to be electric. There's no more non-electric vehicles in the sold.
It is impossible.
Yes.
But that's what they've done. That's what they say.
Nobody's going to be going anywhere in this kind of weather.
No.
That's right.
And we don't have the infrastructure to charge.
I know. It's a ridiculous thought. Yeah. But, I mean, that's what the
their push.
Big objective is.
And one more.
Yes.
About the solar panels.
Yes.
Are they producing energy enough that we cover the free rent to the library and stuff? Free energy to the library?
Yes.
Okay. They probably do, although the library is not included in that.
Yes,
yeah, it is.
Yes, it is, because it's a public building.
Yeah.
Okay. So the library pays their bills, and then we reimburse the library.
Yeah.
So they're not under our...
we're not losing any money. We're actually making a little?
A little bit, yes.
Good to know.
So does the village actually profit from that solar panel system here? Are they making money off of it being here from the big investment that they put in?
Very small.
You
know, it is not a bad thing having those solar panels there. It's maybe not a cost that we might have endured. I'm not saying it was right or wrong or anything. It is paying, but with the way the government is going for electric and green and everything there, I do think down the road we might be open to some grants that villages that don't have anything won't be. So it could pay off. And it's not costing us money right now. I mean, we're paying for the thing on, 20 years? Is that what it is?
Sure, I think so.
Yeah. So we're going to be paying for it for 20 years, but I mean, it's making it.
It's costing
but
money.
In Southville, when I went there, one of the things that they think will happen down the road is anybody that has a solar project or anything to make it more green will be open for government money, where someone that doesn't may not be open to that. There's nothing guaranteed, but that's one of the things they were saying. So. Hopefully it'll work out for us.
And does Scott maintain those? Like when there's no snow is on them, does he have to go and brush it off?
He hasn't
yet. Supposed to.
Does it affect him? It must affect him.
Somewhat. It's supposed to actually depend on how much snow is on there, but through so much it's supposed to. Your solar panels, when they get going, within a year, they have enough dust on them and stuff to reduce the viability of them, well, between 25% and 30%, which
right?
is actually pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Scott has taken, when we had the summer students, and they actually went and washed them down and everything, which would have, again, brought them back up.
Ask him
to know
that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
All right, any other questions? No? Okay, well, we will move on then with the approval for the agenda. Is there anything we need to add to the agenda? If not, can I have a motion to approve?
Okay, I'll approve the agenda for Wednesday, December 21st, 2022, our regular council meeting.
Okay, all those in favor? And that is carried. The approval of the minutes of the Tuesday, November 15th meeting. Is there any errors or omissions? If not, can I have a motion to approve?
I move to approve the minutes from the last meeting.
Okay. All those in favor? And it is carried. Okay, so Public Works report, it's there. Is there any questions on that? Do you want to update about the machine today?
Scott's not allowed to touch anything with hoses because they all keep breaking in the cold. A hydraulic hose froze and kind of pushed off of something on the sweeper, I think it was. So he got it into the shop and defrosted it and got it all fixed up. Yesterday he was filling the tractor with diesel and the hose snapped off of the nozzle just in the cold. It just broke right off. So he's waiting until it warms up a bit to fix that one. He got it shut off after some diesel sprayed everywhere, but...
Don't smoke around him.
Yeah, don't.
He's a little ripe.
He's got a little odor. Before that, but... Yeah. So he's had a rough go. It's been a cold week for him, so...
Yeah. One of the things about our town man is a lot of this stuff... He just sees needs done, and he does it on his own. He has, doesn't have to be told a lot of things to do. We're pretty lucky.
Mm-hmm. We're very fortunate to have him.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We are. I like the Christmas lights that are...
Yes. Yeah, I noticed you put one over on the pole over by our park.
Yeah. That's nice. Yeah, looks nice. All right, and then on to the, if there's no questions on Public Works, on to the admin report. Are there any questions for Kelly?
I feel like it's kind of short, but I do.
Okay. If there's no questions, can I have a motion to approve those reports? Sue, all those in favor? And that is carried. Correspondence? We have one letter.
I have one letter that came in after I did the agenda. It is a letter from the minister saying that... All right. Basically saying that the Village of Carmengay can delegate our power to the Vulcan County Regional Emergency Management Association or Management Agency. We can delegate our powers and duties to the agency's Joint Emergency Management Advisory Committee.
So that's that committee we went to in Lomond.
Because.
So the event of a disaster.
Yeah. So Vulcan County, the town of Vulcan, villages of Arrowwood, Carmengay, Champion, Lomond, and Milo are all authorized to delegate their powers and duties under the Emergency Management Act to the Regional Emergency Management Advisory Committee of the Vulcan County Regional Emergency Management Partnership. So they basically oversee for our area if there's any big emergencies like... the fire or a flood or anything like that. So then it's not just on us to deal with the emergency. We have
when we had that fire coming and the police were evacuating the town and everything, no one was sure where the instructions came to evacuate the town or anything. If VCRMP, which is that, would have been made aware of it or whatever, they would have taken over and that would have all been handled through them. So they would have instructed cops whether or not they had to evacuate the village or not.
All right. On to financial reports. Any questions for Kelly?
Did we talk about this before? Why is there $137,000 in park rent? For whatever reason, that's the money that came in for the insurance for the MLA building, and I don't know why it's under Parks and Recreation. It's whatever grouping that Munisoft, however it was added into Munisoft, that's where it ended up. So let's change it.
Want to go page by page, or do you want, have you all looked over it?
Yeah, it's normal.
Yeah, I've looked over it, I've shook my head, I've looked over it again. Like,
yeah.
I just don't understand Patrick's budgeting then.
No.
I don't think he did.
Like the twin bath. Like, one of the things that got me. The Twin Valley.
The small water.
Small water bench payment. So that one's been allocated to the wrong code.
Is that what it is?
That is what happened there. And I am in April of the bank reconciliations right now. I had to start back over in January to fix all the, like, there were some errors done during the bank reconciliation. So these numbers are accurate up to April. But then I had to work on the budget, so that took up more of my time. But yes, my goal is to get everything done to the end of the year, and then starting in January, we're going to start with a fresh slate, and everything's going to be
right
and make sense and be entered properly and budgeted properly. That's my goal.
So. And his name will never be spoken again.
Yes.
That's a good idea.
It'll be like the...
Kelly has put countless hours into this already.
or not able to catch
up yet.
Yeah.
The neighboring town in
to the north?
Cornegas. The neighboring town. Every time they say it, they spit on the floor.
Oh.
Anyways, I digress.
Okay. So is there any questions on that? Lost my budget. Okay. So if not, can I have a motion to approve the financial reports?
I will approve the financial reports as presented.
Okay. Any discussion? All those in favor? And that is carried. The Alberta Municipal Water Wastewater Partnership project update and borrowing bylaw number 827.
Okay, so I'll go over the update first. Jody Patron sent it to me yesterday. There's been some surveyors out. They did borehole drilling over by the train tracks a couple of weeks ago. There's a big red X drawn on an intersection over here. I had some questions about. So they're out and about. They're doing all the prep work to get the project rolling as soon as the ground melts in the spring. Her update says the design of the pump station upgrades has commenced, the design and drawings of the water line are underway, and the geotechnical and borehole drilling have been completed for the CP rail crossing. She'll touch base in the new year and schedule a design review meeting to go over progress to date. So we'll set that up in January or February with them.
So we're underway.
It's going. We paid a couple bills to them already, so they're doing something.
Have they said anything about where CP Rail is in their discussions? Okay. All right. So, borrowing bylaw number 827. So we've done first reading. We've heard from people on our public hearing. Mm-hmm. Do we want to proceed tonight?
Yeah.
Okay. So, bylaw number 827 of the Village of Carmingay in the province of Alberta. This bylaw authorizes the council of the municipality to incur indebtedness by the issuances of debentures in the amount of $395,000 for the purpose of completion of the water pump house upgrade and distribution connection. So, do you want me to read all this, or are we just...
I think it's just repetition of what you've already read.
Okay. So read a second time this 21st day of December 2022. Somebody else want to?
I will make the motion.
Okay.
For third reading of bylaw 827. What is the bylaw called? The borrowing bylaw.
Okay. And all those paper. So it is carried. Okay, bylaw 830.
Do we have to do the third, or that was...
That was the third. She did the second.
Okay.
So, bylaw 830, public notification bylaw. Bylaw of the Village of Carmingay to establish alternative methods for advertising statutory notices. So, read this second time.
I will read the second time. Motion to read the second time on this 21st day of December 2022, the bylaw of the Village of Carmagate to establish alternative methods for advertising statutory notices.
Okay. All those in favor? Read upon. Okay. Read a third and final time. This 21st day of December 2022, bylaw number 830, the public notification bylaw. Any discussion? All those in favor? And it is carried. Okay. Pre-authorized debit payments.
Okay, so we have, I think we talked about it at the last meeting, through Munisoft, we have the ability to pre-authorize, set up people for pre-authorized debit. So rather than having a post-dated check sitting in our office, we can fill out a form for you and you give us your banking information and we'll set it up in our municipal accounting software. And on the 15th or the 30th of every month, we'll pull a set amount that you agree to from your account. And we just run it through our software. It's a lot slicker than
checks
or than remembering to pay. I don't know. We've actually had one person sign up for taxes and utilities already, and we'll be starting it in January, I think, kind of full steam.
Right on.
Yeah.
Okay. E-notices for utilities and taxes.
So another thing that we have the ability to do through Munisoft is to email out tax notifications, correspondence from the village, just any kind of letters that we need to send out, as well as your utility bills. So we just need a form filled out and signed. It's actually a government regulation, CASEL. It's Canadian Advertising Standards or something like that.
Canadian Banking Regulation.
Yeah, so I can't spam you with things. You have to sign that you're approving that the village sends you information. But we can send you your utility bills, your tax assessment and tax notices, as well as any municipal correspondence. To your email rather than a paper copy. So you won't get both, you'll just get one or the other. So that's another thing that we would like to get rolling starting in January. But we have a few people that already do get their utility bills by email. Lots of people that don't live in the community, actually, like owners that have renters here, tend to do that. But that's pretty...
Did we pass that bylaw last time?
Yes.
Okay, I thought so.
Yeah. So that's just an update. Just, the forms are done and ready to go. And
okay. All right, so moving on to budget 2023.
All right. I have packages. They're stapled together, all the papers. I figured people would want to see them. I think there might only be six or seven. I can't remember how many copies I actually made. We might have some.
I first have to say, Kelly, and I think you've done a fantastic job of digging through hundreds of hours of trying to figure things out.
Thank you. Hi. Do you guys have this page? It'll be probably near the back. Oh, there we go. Okay, those might need to be handed out. So this is kind of where we're coming from with this budget. This goes back to 2017, just showing, so the budgeted numbers, if everybody just looks, the budget is in blue and the actual expenses are in green. So for the last few years, our expenses have outpaced our budgeted amounts significantly. At the most in 2020, we were running a deficit of $217,856. That's what our shortfall was between budget and expenses. So, that being said, the budget that I've been working on, we're really trying to make it make sense and make it balance and make it, what's the word? Like include everything. There's pieces missing, which is the reason that it's been over budget consistently. Things like lease payments for machinery that should have been included in the operating budget weren't included. Things that went over budget, like supplies and salaries, lots of different topics that went over budget consistently, not just once or twice, but consistently. On the second and third pages of this, it kind of shows a couple of the major headings. Salaries, materials, contracted services. So you just get an idea over the last 5 years of what has been spent and what the budget was for that. So the first couple of years that the budget was out of whack, the village had a ton of money in the bank. So the money is the blue line here. Over the years, the last, so this is 2014, 2015, 2016. So this drop right here was
the Elmore Street
construction. Okay, so then we kind of evened out around the $400,000 mark for about 3 years and then took a significant nosedive in 2019 to the point where we went from having $500,845 in the bank.
Election year?
Yeah.
In 2018. In 2019, we ended the year with $51,000 in the bank. In 2020, we ended the year with $24,000. Sorry, that's not in the bank. That's our net assets. My apologies. 2020, our net assets were $24,000. 2021, we actually ended in a deficit position, which is contravening the MGA. So we got flagged by municipal affairs. I had to fill out some super fun paperwork explaining why we were in a deficit, what we were doing to get out of it, and what our plan is moving forward. So one of the things that should have been done that wasn't done was to account for this deficit in this year's budget. So that $33,832 should have been covered in like a tax increase or some sort of fee increase this year to offset that loss. What we are on track for at the end of this year was about a $90,000 deficit because it rolled with the 33. It added on more deficit from this year. We were fortunate in a way that the MLA building was damaged because the insurance money that we took for that, rather than rebuilding, covered off our deficit. So we aren't in a deficit position, so municipal affairs should not be after us for that next year. However, that being said, we do have expenses that have never been properly allocated in the budget that I've put into the budget this year. A backhoe lease, the dump truck lease, and then with the capital finance loan that we have to take out for the water plant, there's an annual payment, obviously, to repay that needs to be worked into the operating budget. So that's kind of where we're... What I'm working with, given and how we're trying to dig our way out of the hole that we are in. Can we talk about utilities?
Well, or is that? We get to that. Okay,
originally, municipal affairs told us before we put that insurance money into our deficit, municipal affairs told us that we'd have to increase our taxes 49%.
By putting that $90,000 in a year.
By putting that insurance money in to cover the deficit, we are still going to have a tax increase. I don't think we've come to numbers yet.
No.
But definitely won't be near the 49%.
Well, with everything else going up, it's not surprising that we have to put our taxes up.
Well, they should have been. There's never a year they should not have been increased because we would not have been in this position.
Right.
Well, and that's the water. The water and the waste have been going up.
Yes.
But the cost to...
Not passed on.
But it hasn't been passed on, so that's working against us as well. And, like, for... If you look on the last page of your budget 2023, it says transfer to capital. I don't know if yours is highlighted yellow.
Yeah, it is. One more page.
Sorry, yours is on the up and down page.
That one, yeah.
Very back, Tanya.
So that transfer to capital, that $42,600, that's what we've been paying out yearly for lease payments, just for the
just
truck.
Just for the backhoe and the dump truck.
And it's never been included
and
in the budget.
The suck truck?
No.
That's paid.
And, that one is and paid. Up till last year, we were paying on the pickup truck also.
Yeah. And it's
a lease payment.
Yeah. And they've never been worked into the budget. So,
always
so how does where that did happen? That money go then? How did they?
Who knows?
How,
how the hell does that happen? So,
that's
they
why
they were paying
well, that's
it. They just didn't account
just,
for it.
Yeah.
It just was never worked into the budget properly. It was listed in the capital budget.
Yes.
But there was no indication of where the money was coming for
from the operating.
Into the capital budget
from operating to make that payment.
Yeah.
So that has only been the last 4 years, right?
Yes.
To our knowledge, yeah.
Well, yeah.
Just ask.
I mean, yes, it was never there when we were on before.
Yeah. And that's part of the reason why the net assets have gone down is because it's been covering those shortages to the point where now you're in a deficit and there's no more to cover.
Yeah. We have an emergency.
Yeah,
basically, yes.
So really and truly, when it really comes down to it, the advocacy group was on the right trail.
Yes.
The whole time.
Yes. They definitely probably, I'm going to say,
when they were
did
saying,
a watchdog or whatever, but it was on a
when they were saying there was no transparency and that they needed more
that they were absolutely
financially... Right. Whatever the word is, financial responsibility. Yes, they were, as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
And the auditor didn't think that anybody was, like, pocketing money. It's just not managed properly, like, poorly managed and accounted for.
In their audit and everything they checked, they could find no money missing at all.
There's no, there's no evidence of wrongdoing, but there was comments made over the past few years about salaries being too high for the size of village we have.
Too many people hired.
Too many employees.
Too many employees.
Yes.
Things
too
like
much
that.
Overtime.
Yes.
Yeah.
But.
So this is a very honest picture at where we're at.
Yes.
So we need
we
to move forward.
It.
And, I mean, unfortunately, it's going to come with some increases. We're trying to keep it as minimal as possible without continuing down this deficit slope and to get on side with municipal affairs. And like the Waste Commission has gone up exponentially. And so we set rates in motion for January of this year, but the water has also increased. So we're going to have to.
Fire wreck increased too?
Pardon?
Fire wreck.
I don't think
not a substantial amount of it does. The water, they have not actually increased the water to us in a few years, but they have had, I think in the last 2 years, they have had, one was over a $100,000 repair, and the one that just happened was a $68,000 repair.
And now we're having an emergency meeting in January, so who knows what's going to happen there. So.
Yeah.
So this is the waste transfer graph showing the garbage expense since 2018. The gray bar is actually the income or the revenue that the village makes. So you can see that it doesn't even come close to breaking even year over year over year.
So
there might not be enough. Sorry, I thought I had. So one of the huge expenses that we're running into this year is the transfer station requisition in 2022 was $53,215. Next year, it's $60,229. So that's almost a $7,000 jump.
And a large portion of that is for fuel costs and the tipping fees to haul the garbage away from the transfer station, which is kind of out of the commission's hands, but that's where the majority of the increase come from.
And
you
I mean,
can
if
see
you
that.
Yeah, if you look from 2018, the cost was $42,000.
Yeah.
Up to this year coming up, it's $60,000. So I mean, it's increased
6 years,
you know,
drastically,
exponentially every year, almost not exponentially, but it's increased drastically every year. So we need to figure out a plan to make, because our utilities should essentially be a break even.
Yes.
thing in the community, not something that we're offsetting with tax money or other things like that. So that's one big issue.
Well, you've explained
Twin
it
Valleys
very well.
Raised the water, cost of water. What did they raise it to?
This weekly waste collection, that's your garbage,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
It has to be weekly. Could it not be bi-weekly? Could we not cut that in half by going bi-weekly? I mean, I don't think everybody has. Like I myself personally, because of recycling,
right.
I'm lucky to have garbage every week. I don't work any more than one, maybe two bags, little bags.
Something you could certainly ask.
Because it would save half of that cost.
Yeah.
There's a lot of single people here that don't have
Or anybody has that much garbage every week. That
we can certainly take it back to the Waste Commission and say, you know, what if we were to move to a biweekly model versus what we currently have?
Yeah.
If everybody does their recycling, their garbage is minimal.
Half a bag of green garbage.
I get one little kitchen bag a week, I don't even throw it out to the guy. I leave it in my bin, especially in the wintertime when it's freezing.
Mm-hmm.
But even the summertime, it's nothing much bad.
I like that idea. The only thing that would worry me on it is people started just dumping garbage in the back anyway, and then all of a sudden we get cats and dogs going through it. That, you know, if everyone would be responsible and keep it covered in where it couldn't. But that's the only thing I would be cautious of.
What if it was a bylaw put out there?
Yes.
Everybody has to have a waste containment area.
Actually, I think it is a bylaw.
Then that should be
from like the 50s or
60s. Carried out and held up. Mm-hmm.
It should be enforced.
It should be enforced.
It used to be a bylaw that it had to be covered.
Yeah, and then you could get rodents into it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I can certainly ask at the next Waste Commission meeting and see if they would look at something like that.
Yeah, it is. I think it's the only thing. And I mean, for us, I agree. I don't think we have, probably Christmas time is the only time, but we don't have a lot of garbage.
Christmas time, you got wrapping and paper, which is recyclable.
That's all recyclable. Usually goes
in my broom pit.
Okay, we'll all take our garbage over to Doug's.
Paper only.
He recycles more than we have garbage.
Yeah. Or we can establish hillbilly shredders, you know? Fire pits in the backyard, providing the fire chief allows it.
That's a hillbilly shredder, is it?
Yeah, that's what they call a hillbilly shredder.
Okay.
All right. So do you guys want to go over this line by line, the budget that Kelly provided? Or do you want to...
We have to pass an interim budget.
We have to approve an interim budget tonight. And what do we do with the...
So the municipal tax is the very first line.
Yeah.
That's our 2022 levy. So I left it in there.
Okay.
But then on my calculator spreadsheet, if we...
This goes away?
Yes.
Okay.
If you change that number.
Okay.
So.
Can I ask, what is this senior's requisition?
Marquis.
Oh, okay.
A little thing over here.
Yeah.
And one thing, like on the water usage revenue, the Old Colony Lodge, the meter was read in the wrong cubes, so that's
gallons.
It was gallons instead of cubic meters, so we were undercharging since the meter was put in quite a while ago. So that's been rectified. So they're aware and it's been fixed. And
we cannot go back to retrieve that. it was done.
But they haven't blinked at their new bills.
No. Nope.
So they probably knew they were being undercharged and just didn't say
anything. Yeah.
But yeah, they haven't complained at all about the higher billing, so should be fine. So. But that should bring us in about another $21,000 in additional water revenue from them not being billed.
That's revenue, yeah.
Really, so here.
$754.
Yeah, yes.
Look here on the Cameron Utilities and $3,500.
Yes.
Right, that's our expense.
Yeah.
So I still have a bug in my bonnet over that whole thing because the Lions has taken over the campground and gets revenue, but we pay the utilities?
Because it's a municipal building. I think that was the agreement that was made when the solar farm was put in, so that's why the library utilities are paid, and that's why the campground utilities are paid, the village office, the shop, and the lift station, I think that's...
And the lift.
Yeah. So, I mean, we can definitely...
Relook at that.
But that was one of those agreements made.
I know. And then right at the beginning, I objected to that.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think there's a discrepancy there.
I mean,
if the Lions wants to come from, let them have the whole thing.
She didn't show any
revenue as well as expenses.
Sure.
Yeah.
I will say the Lions, in the expenses of keeping up the campground, they were about $7,000 in the hole after paying all of that.
But the revenue was $5,000. When it was taken over, the revenue was $5,000. So.
Well, that didn't take in that. That didn't cover the expenses, that revenue. It never has. Cover it. Right now it's kind of a joint thing that the village and the Lions Club are doing to basically share the cost somewhat. Both, it's costing the village and the Lions Club money, camper. And it would have been close this year, but we had one guy that stayed there for just about 2 months and they tried collecting from him a few times, and he ended up just taking off.
So do we need three readings to pass the interim budget?
Residents of this community.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Is there any more discussion on this, or... We want to move ahead with...
A portion of garbage should go as well.
Let's move ahead.
Move ahead.
So you can be tweaked after.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you could. This is really exciting for me. I got an email from the Government of Alberta that they have secured an agreement with Bell for wireless, cell phones, and the village is able to get in on that deal. Right now, we are paying...
Lots.
Thank you. $37.75 a month for one of the cell phones and $83.95 a month for another cell phone. One of them is a public works cell phone that is Scott uses. The other one is an emergency call-out phone that's hooked up to the lift station. So if it goes... Lift station? Yeah. So if it goes down, then Scott gets a call. The new plan with Bell, $5 a month.
Oh, wow.
Sweet. So my budget for the phone went from $1,500 down to $120 a year.
Does Bell work well here?
It's on, I think we're with Rogers for one of those and Telus for the other. So
Bell uses
Telus Towers.
Telus. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I sent an email as soon as I got this email and said, hook us up. How do we do this? So that was a good win on the budget there.
Need a few more of them.
Yes.
Okay.
A few more of that.
All right. So if there's no more discussion on the budget, can I have a motion to approve our interim budget?
I'll make a motion to approve this as our interim budget. It can be tweaked in the spring.
2023?
Okay, any more discussion? Not all those in favor? And that is carried. New business, bylaw number 819.
We don't have a copy of that one. That's the old water, sewer, garbage rates bylaw.
Okay.
So, going back to the budget and the increases in water and garbage, the current bylaw that was passed in May of 2022, bylaw 819, has an increase for sewer and garbage starting January 1st, which works out to $1.05 per month increase, which would net the village $157.50 a month in increased revenue. As you can see from the graphs, that just isn't going to cut it. The water rates don't increase until May, which is an increase of $3.13 a month. So combined with the sewer and garbage starting May the 1st, the increase would be $4.18 a month to utility users. But again, that's not quite enough for the utilities to break even at this point. So I wanted council just to be aware of that, and if we can maybe discuss a plan moving forward.
Have you figured out what it'll be to cover?
I did have this. You know, to have. Oh, okay. There we go. Yes. So the weekly garbage pickup is $8.50 per month, but we don't itemize that out on utility bills right now. Champion does, and they also itemize out the waste transfer station requisition, so it's divided out amongst all the people in the village. So it would be $8.50 a month for garbage pickup, and then it would cost $33.46 a month for the transfer station requisition, which is a large jump in the garbage rate. But that would break us even on garbage.
Well, I don't think we cannot. It's costing us money. I mean, we've got to put it up either through the taxes, but then this doesn't read what it actually is. So I think we need to put this what it actually is.
The problem, if you make up the shortfall on the taxes, then those with higher assessments essentially pay more for garbage and water and sewer, which isn't fair.
Yeah.
It should
so
be
so this way it's done
equally.
So, if I understand correctly, it's $8.50 plus the $35, so it's $44 a month garbage and is going to be.
$41.96.
Yeah.
Let's see what the.
Is that extra and above what we're paying now?
Right now you're paying $33.
$33 something.
$33.50.
$33.05,
I think.
Yeah, $33.05. $33.05.
Yeah.
So it's up about $8.
Yeah. But still, I think the idea of still looking into having only twice a month.
Yeah.
Definitely worth
I think
looking
it's a good
into,
idea.
For sure.
Yeah. And then still the water rates go up, right?
And the water rates do go up.
So taxes will only go up 1% because everything else is going up.
Municipal appearance is still pushing us for more than we want to do, but we're trying to.
So do we have to then rescind our motion, because we made the motion to put that money into reserves from the MLA building, but in order to be on side with Uni Affairs, we need to rescind that motion,
or
correct? Or we need to make
reserves.
A motion.
Use the money from reserves, too.
Okay, I move we use the money from reserves to put toward our deficit to keep our tax rates in line.
To bring us on side.
Okay.
there any discussion on that, Sue? Not all those in favor? And that is carried. Okay, so can we then maybe table this utility bylaw until we get like some numbers on where we're at with water and sewer? And garbage, I mean, sorry. Okay. New business, number B.
Letter B.
Foothills Next Gen 911.
Okay, so it's a new 911 service agreement for this area that they just need the village to sign on to so that it can be provided in the next 5 years, I think, is kind of the outline. I don't know. I emailed for more information and nobody replied to me, so I was hoping that I would. Yeah, I emailed them about a week and a half ago and I haven't heard back. So.
So it's nothing that needs.
It's no money. It's nothing. It's just an agreement saying that we would like to, I think, partner with this group to have the 911 capabilities in the community.
Is this like the new FRESC? It used to be Foothills Regional Emergency Services Commission.
We still have Foothills Regional, but because that's who we deal with is FRESC.
Dispatch. Yeah.
Well, I suggest we table that until maybe you get an answer back.
Okay. Yeah, I was hoping that I would hear back.
Okay.
Rather than sign on to something we don't know about.
Okay. All those in favor of that? Okay, carried. All right, moving on to reports. Orsk is there. Marquis, I was delinquent in getting my reports in, and I apologize. Marquis, they have installed new windows over here at the manor, and I think they did some in Vulcan as well, but yeah. So.
Tenants there now?
Yeah. No, it's four.
No, it's four.
Oh, there's four?
Yeah, there's two couples, and then there's three couples, and then a single. So
only three people answered when we did food drive. So I thought
One's gone south for the winter. So, but yeah, it's full. So
we could rent it out for 6 months.
Yeah.
There we go. They won't know.
All furnished.
The RBO.
Right now.
Probably food in there, too.
So it's kind of nice to see it full and being used.
Mm-hmm.
Look, and there's another one by me. Vulcan District Solid Waste. Well, I was the bearer of bad news with the budget and the increases. They're still working on their waste-to-energy plant. Still.
12 years.
The 10 years I was on council, they were still on it, and they're still on it. So,
where are they building it?
County of Newell is where it's shortlisted to.
Oh, they haven't even decided yet.
Yeah. There's still bids for proposals, I think, is where they're at now to build it. I don't understand. I still can't get my head around why there's so much lagging when it would solve a lot of problems if they could burn it instead of developing another land mass where they dump it. Like right now, all of the land, all of the garbage from Vulcan County goes to Pinch Creek and gets dumped there because it's less than half the cost if we were to haul it to Lethbridge or Okotoks.
Wow.
So we haul it all the way to Pincher.
Well, and that's not bad. Vancouver hauls their garbage to Cache Creek.
Oh, wow.
And that's 300 clicks, 300-400 clicks.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, Newell would be good because that'd be closer than Pincher Creek.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, at one point they were talking about Vulcan County.
Vulcan was
right?
Second on the list.
That would
they
be
had originally
better.
Looked at like where the Carmengay Champion transfer station was because it was close to the train tracks so they could have rail access.
Yeah.
And then there's a lot of farmers for that kind of. Anyway, so yeah, that's an ongoing saga. Okay, FCSS. Sue has provided her notes. I see they got a new director.
They did. They hired Don Wiseman. We'll see if she works out. Her and a couple of the board members have already butted heads, but we'll see how it works out.
South Grove, they're busy going on.
They are. They're actually in a better shape than they've been for a while. Basically, they didn't know. A lot of their money was canceled because of when this government first got in. And then when Danielle Smith got in, all of a sudden they were given some money. So they actually have six new members. What happens with South Grow is, and they look at every village and everything to try and get something building or whatever, they're actually responsible for another 43 kilometers of Highway 3 being twinned, and they just turned that over, so it's actually going to start in the spring. They got six new members to join, but in the process, the city of Lethbridge dropped out because our rates were 50 cents per capita. When they were in, when I first got into South Grow, they were in financial tightness and they moved it, they doubled the price, which for a village like Carmengay was about another $100. But for a municipality like Tabor or Lethbridge, they put a cap on it. They can't pay any more than $10,000, which is good for those places, but because of that, Lethbridge dropped out. Lethbridge still gets a lot of benefit out of South Grow, so they're still going to try and get them back in because one of the members that's in there is for Lethbridge Economic Development, which is on their own, and they pay, but they don't pay because they're just a company. They have a like a $275 membership fee. But then they work for Lethbridge, so it's a little bit different. So they're going. Anyway, if we get Lethbridge back on, which they're going to work on, then that will put them in better financial. But they are the ones that instigated, they tried to get that high-speed internet in here because the government was in transitioning. They actually couldn't do it through the county, so they actually went through Swift out of Champion and working with them, and they are the ones that are going to be doing it. So we still will benefit out of it.
All right. They're actually coming to present to us in January. To
South Grow.
South Grow? I got a request a couple weeks ago if they come and do a presentation.
Okay.
And then Twin Valley, was there anything?
Oh, no, we have an emergency meeting in January.
Okay. And Mayors and Reeves, nothing. Volke County Emergency Partnership?
Coming up in January.
Okay. So we don't have anything for closed session. Is there anything else? If not, we'll adjourn the meeting at 7:04.